Welcome to First and Felony, the true crime podcast where we explore the crimes committed by athletes. This week we're talking about Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez left a path of destruction throughout his life. The fact is, Aaron Hernandez is a criminal. We'll start his life there.
When it comes time to make his college pick, not even his brother DJ can get Aaron to join him where their dad played, the University of Connecticut.
At first, he wouldn't even talk to me, but there's days he's saying, like, it's our dream to play together. Come on, please.
But Aaron stands firm, believing his football career will soar in Gator Country. In January 2007, he joins the Gators and star quarterback Tim Tebow. A promising college career overshadowed by trouble off the field.
While enrolled at the University of Florida, Aaron Hernandez was arrested after a brawl at a local campus hangout dubbed the Swamp. Then 17-year-old Aaron Hernandez assaulted the bar manager Michael Taphorn over a dispute about a bar tab. Hernandez allegedly sucker-punched Taphorn, rupturing Taphorn's eardrum. Hernandez received a deferred prosecution.
The manager later tells police University of Florida coaches and lawyers have contacted him, and they're working on an agreement. A university spokesman says they are not aware of any settlement.
Later, in September 2007, Corey Smith, 28, Justin Glass, age 19, and Randall Kaysen were driving in Gainesville, Florida when someone opened fire on them. Randall Kaysen allegedly stole a gold chain belonging to Mike or Marquise Pouncey, one of the Pouncey twins who also played at Florida and now play in the NFL. Smith was shot in the back of the head and Glass was shot in the arm.
The suspected chain snatchers get into this man's car. His name is Corey and doesn't want his face shown for fear of retribution.
Witnesses describe two shooters, one black and one Hawaiian or Hispanic. The second shooter matched Hernandez's description. The other shooter was later identified as NFL player Reggie Nelson, who denies any involvement.
Police interview more than 20 people, and they try to question Hernandez. But he's the only one who doesn't make a statement after invoking his right to counsel. At the time, his mother, Terry Hernandez, tells the Orlando Sentinel, "I know he was at the club, but he never saw any shooting." It's still an open case. No one's ever been charged.
Smith is now 33 and faces a lot of health problems.
They had to take half of my skull to get the bullet out. I was in rehab, and they helped me to walk again and talk again.
You've done a lot to try to get to the heart of what happened. What about going to the University of Florida?
I tried it. I was just told that they would put the guys on curfew so that they could, lessen their activities in clubs and things of that nature. I would have liked to have seen some more in-depth questioning of those football players.
Citing privacy laws, the University of Florida won't discuss specifics of how players are disciplined.
Teams spend a lot of time on background checks, hiring private investigators to be sure that this is somebody who will enter the NFL and stay out of trouble.
On July 16, 2012, Daniel Abreu and Safino Furtado are killed in a drive-by shooting. Hernandez is currently on trial for their double murder. We'll get more into that case a little later. June 2013. Hernandez is sued by Alexander Bradley for allegedly shooting him in the eye. The two men got in an altercation at a strip club, and afterwards, Hernandez shot Bradley. Bradley was found on the street and rushed to the hospital. In May 2013, Hernandez and a Jets fan got in an altercation outside of Viva Nightclub in Providence, Rhode Island. Ernest Wallace allegedly tossed a .22 caliber pistol under a car shortly after the altercation. What led to Aaron Hernandez's downfall was the murder of his good friend, Odin Lloyd.
Lloyd began dating college student Shania Jenkins. She's the link between the young man who dreamed of the NFL and the All-American who made it.
They're dating sisters.
Shania Jenkins is the younger sister of Cheyenne, who's engaged to Hernandez and mother of his little girl.
Before the killing of Odin Lloyd, Hernandez had just signed a new $41 million contract with the New England Patriots. The following is a list of events that led to the murder of Odin Lloyd. Here are the key players in the story. Aaron Hernandez, NFL football player. Odin Lloyd, semi-pro football player, friend of Aaron Hernandez. Ernest Wallace, as often described as Aaron Hernandez's right-hand man. Carlos Ortiz is also a friend of Aaron Hernandez. Here's what really happened and led to Odin Lloyd's death. June 16, 2013, the night of the murder of Odin Lloyd. At 9:05, Hernandez texts Lloyd. At 9:37, Lloyd texts Hernandez. Hernandez left a restaurant to meet Odin Lloyd. And at 10:21, Ortiz and Wallace text Hernandez that they're on their way. At 11:40 p.m., June 16th, Hernandez's phone drops off the AT&T network. It's either dead or off. On June 17th, early in the morning hours, Wallace and Ortiz arrive at Hernandez's house, and a babysitter lets them in. At 12:19, Hernandez leaves the restaurant. The tab included 30 alcoholic drinks, totaling $273.45. Hernandez left a $30 tip, and Hernandez and his fiancée, Shania Jenkins, head home. At 12:22, Lloyd texts Hernandez. We still on? Sometime around 12:40, Ortiz later tells investigators Hernandez walked around the home carrying a loaded large handgun and made a statement about not being able to trust anyone. At 1 a.m., Hernandez, Wallace, and Ortiz leave Hernandez's home. At 1:12 a.m., Hernandez, Ortiz, and Wallace get into a gray and silver Nissan Altima. At 1:22, the first of five calls from Wallace's phone to Lloyd's phone is placed. Sometime after 2 a.m., the Nissan stops at a Canton gas station. Hernandez is driving. He uses a credit card to buy 18 gallons of gas and cash to pay for a cigar and cotton candy-flavored Bubble Yum bubble gum, which is blue. At 2:25, two calls from Wallace to Lloyd. At 2:33, the Nissan arrives at Lloyd's home. Lloyd gets in the rear passenger door. Lloyd's sister later recounts that she sees Lloyd get into a car and thinks there are three other men in there. Ortiz hears Hernandez confront Lloyd about him chilling with people Hernandez had a problem with. Ortiz believes the two men smoothed it over before shaking hands. At 2:52, Nissan runs through a toll booth without stopping to pay. 3:07 a.m., Lloyd sends a text to his sister saying, "You saw who I'm with." At 3:11, Lloyd sends another text reading, "Hello." At 3:19, his sister texts back, "Who was that?" At 3:20, the silver Nissan Altima turns onto John L. Diatek Boulevard traveling north. At 3:22, Lloyd sends his sister the text that reads, "NFL." At 3:23, Lloyd also sends the text, "Just so you know." Shortly after that, an employee of a nearby business hears what he described as three gunshots and a car door slamming. Two other employees of the same business also hear what they describe as a series of bangs they assume to be fireworks. At 3:27 a.m., the Nissan Altima leaves the secluded gravel area. At approximately 3:30, the Nissan Altima arrives at Hernandez's home. The driver's side mirror is damaged. Hernandez is still driving. Hernandez tells Ortiz to grab a handgun from under the seat. Three men enter the garage of Hernandez's home. At 3:33, Hernandez is observed entering his basement holding what is believed to be a handgun. At 3:40 a.m., a recording of Hernandez's home security system suddenly stops. Unknown time, Ortiz sees Hernandez put two guns in a black box in the basement. At 4:54 p.m., still on June 17th, Hernandez, Wallace, and Ortiz drive away in the silver Nissan Altima. At 5 p.m., Hernandez stops at Enterprise Rent-A-Car in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Hernandez tells the employee that the driver's side mirror is broken and doors damaged, but he doesn't know how the damage arrived. Hernandez rents a new car, a gray Chrysler 300C. At 5:12 p.m., Hernandez, Wallace, and Ortiz arrive at Hernandez's home. 5:37 p.m., a jogger calls 911 after finding a body in an industrial park near John L. Deich Boulevard in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Police conclude the man had been shot several times and find 45 caliber shells, two sets of keys to a black Chevy Suburban with Rhode Island license plate, $64.75 in cash, and a driver's license identifying the man as Odin Lloyd.
You think your boy did it? No, I don't want him to have done it. No. So if you want me to say no, I don't think he did it. At the same time, anybody can be pushed to do something drastic like that if they push you to that point.
At 8:35 p.m., Hernandez's cell phone reconnects to the AT&T network. Detectives learn the black Chevy Suburban was rented by Aaron Hernandez. Detectives run a computer check and learn that Hernandez's home is about 1.2 miles from the scene of the murder, or about a half a mile in a straight line. At 9:40, detectives arrive at Hernandez's home, 22 Ronald C. Meyer Drive in North Attleboro. At 10:30, Hernandez approaches the officers and says he has seen them on a security system. Officers ask about the black Suburban. Hernandez admits he rented it for his friend Odin. Hernandez allegedly then becomes argumentative during the questioning and enters his home, locking the door behind him, before returning with a business card for his attorney. Investigators tell Hernandez they are investigating a death. Hernandez did not ask whose death they were investigating or show any signs of concern. At 10:40, Hernandez tells the police he will follow them to the police station, and his fiancée, Shania Jenkins, drives. Meanwhile, Wallace drops Ortiz off in Bristol, Connecticut, at the home of Hernandez's cousin, Tanya Singleton. Ortiz tells her about the murder. Meanwhile, Shania drops off Hernandez at the police station, and the police tell Shania that Lloyd is dead. She says Lloyd dated her sister, Gianna Jenkins, and that Lloyd was a marijuana dealer. Detectives later note, Jenkins is the only one who said Lloyd is a drug dealer. Investigators arrive at Lloyd's home in Boston and see the black Suburban parked behind a fence. On June 18th at 12:14 a.m., Hernandez sends Shania Jenkins a text that reads, "Go in back of the screen room when you get home and there is a box of ale likes to play with in the tub just in case you were looking for it. Remember how you ruined that big TV? IMAO? Was just thinking about that. LOL, wink wink. Talk to you later. K." Shania replies, "Okay, that was awful. Perfect TV. Love you." Investigators believe that Hernandez wanted Shania to destroy the video recording boxes located behind the screen in the movie room. At 12:30 a.m., Hernandez's attorneys arrive and police agree to leave Hernandez's phone unaltered until Hernandez has been consulted or police get a warrant to search his phone. At 1:05 a.m., police tell Lloyd's girlfriend, Shania Jenkins, he is dead. She states Lloyd's only connection to North Attleboro is Aaron Hernandez.
My brother and I were kind of like, I wouldn't say best friends, but you know, as close as siblings can get.
At 7:45 a.m., the manager at Enterprise Rent-A-Car cleans Hernandez's rented Nissan Altima out and finds several things that she throws into a dumpster, including a vitamin water bottle, a child's drawing, a piece of blue chewed gum, and a bullet or shell casing. Hernandez calls Jenkins from his attorney's office and tells her to dispose of a box that was located in a storage room in the basement of their residence. At 1:16 p.m., Shania Jenkins exits the home through a backyard patio door carrying a dark-colored trash bag. Inside the bag is an object that is rigid. At 2 p.m., Shania returns home without the rigid object in her trunk. At 7:01 p.m., detectives obtain a warrant to search Hernandez's home and they confiscate two cell phones, three iPads, digital video recorders, and a computer that is part of the security system. At 10 p.m., detectives confiscate Aaron Hernandez's cell phone. On June 19th, Alexander Bradley, the man Hernandez had allegedly shot in the face before, refiles his lawsuit. On June 19th at 8 p.m., investigators search the silver Nissan Altima collecting several pieces of evidence, photos, fingerprints, tire impressions, and gunshot residue. Later, the manager tells police she cleaned out the silver Nissan and threw away several items in the dumpster, including the shell casing, matching ones found at the murder scene. On June 21, 2013, police respond to a three-vehicle crash and find a .38-caliber handgun in a woman's car. The gun belongs to a man known as Chicago, later identified as John Elkhorn, husband of Hernandez's cousin, Tanya Singleton. On June 22, 2013, police confiscate several items from Hernandez's home, including weapons. At 4:27 p.m., a man calls police and tells them he can provide information about the 2012 killing of Abreu and Furtado. He also tells police it's related to the Odin Lloyd killing and describes the crime and says, "Someone accidentally spilled the beans in front of me." On June 24th, Wallace boards a Greyhound bus in Macon, Georgia, bound for Miami. Tickets were purchased using a credit card issued to an alias of Aaron Hernandez's cousin, Tanya Singleton. On June 25, 2013, Ortiz goes into a meeting with a probation officer in Bristol, Connecticut. Ortiz was previously convicted of larceny and facing a probation violation for a failed drug test that found alcohol, cocaine, PCP, and THC in his system. Detectives investigating the Lloyd murder are waiting. Ortiz agrees to talk and he tells detectives on June 16th, Hernandez, Wallace, and himself pick up Lloyd and tells detectives that Hernandez had a problem with the people Lloyd was hanging out with, but they appeared to smooth things over. Ortiz claims he fell asleep and awoke when they pulled into the secluded area, the others got out, Ortiz heard gunshots, and only Hernandez and Wallace got back in. He tells detectives he heard Hernandez admit to shooting Lloyd and also tells investigators about Aaron Hernandez's secret apartment known as the Flop House.
June 26, 2013, 9 days after the murder of Odin Lloyd, Hernandez is arrested. And he's no longer a New England patriot.
I and other members of the organization were shocked and disappointed.
At 1:30 p.m., detectives search Hernandez's apartment and find a cache of weapons and ammo. They also find Carlos Ortiz's cell phone. Ortiz is arrested on weapons charges. Wallace is observed swimming at his mother's home in Florida. Investigators search a home in Bristol, Connecticut, owned by Hernandez's uncle, and find a silver Toyota 4Runner with Rhode Island license plates. The car was loaned to Hernandez in exchange for some promotional work Hernandez had done. Police believe it is possible evidence in the 2012 murders of Abreu and Furtado. On June 27th, investigators obtained warrants for Wallace and charged him with accessory after the fact. On June 30th, Thaddeus Singleton III, the husband of Hernandez's cousin, Tanya Singleton, is killed in a high-speed car crash. Investigators wanted to question him about a man nicknamed Chicago. At 2 p.m., investigators search a Chrysler 300C and recover a CD, a cigar, a rental car agreement, leather samples from the seats, and fingerprints. On August 1st, prosecutors offer Tanya Singleton immunity in exchange for her testimony before a grand jury. She declines and is arrested. Wallace is also indicted for being an accessory after the fact and on a separate weapons charge. Singleton is indicted on contempt of court.
As the NFL struggles to deal with issues of abuse and violence, Hernandez goes on trial for murder.
August 22nd, Hernandez indicted on one count of murder and five weapons charges. Weapons charges are a result of a June 22nd search. On September 12, 2013, John Elkhorn, also known as Chicago, appears before a grand jury investigating the 2012 double murder in Boston. On September 13, Tanya Singleton appears before the grand jury investigating the double murder. She is granted immunity, but refuses to testify. On September 26, 2013, prosecutors note Ortiz changed key elements of his story, saying originally that Wallace had gotten out of the car at the murder scene, and now only Hernandez and Lloyd got out of the car with the silver Nissan. On October 4, 2013, police nab Bradley, the man Hernandez had allegedly shot in the face, and he is ordered to testify before a grand jury about the double murder in Boston. On December 3rd, prosecutors allege Jenkins lied to a grand jury at least 29 times, refusing to tell what or where she took that black box. On December 16th, Lloyd's family files a wrongful death suit against Hernandez. On February 25th, Hernandez is involved in a physical altercation with another inmate at a correctional facility. On February 26th, 2014, families of Abreu and Furtado also file wrongful death suits against Aaron Hernandez for $6 million each. On May 1st, a grand jury indicts Aaron Hernandez on a jailhouse scuffle and a threat to kill a correctional officer. On May 15th, 2014, the grand jury indicts Hernandez on multiple charges including murder and assault with intent to murder in the deaths of Abreu and Furtado. Hernandez pleads not guilty to the murder.
Prosecutors are saying that he orchestrated the execution of someone.
You're not going to make me believe that he's a monster because you used those type of words.
The trial was set for May 2015. Hernandez assembled what can be called a legal dream team, including Jose Baez, who successfully defended Casey Anthony, and Harvard Law School professor Ronald Sullivan. August 26, 2014. Judge E. Susan Garsh tosses out evidence from two cell phones and three tablets, citing problems with the search warrants. On October 2nd, evidence confiscated from Hernandez's flophouse apartment, including ammunition matching the bullets found at the murder scene of Odin Lloyd, will not make it to trial because of bad warrants. On December 12, 2014, Judge Garsh rules that evidence involving the shooting of Abreu and Furtado and Alexander Bradley cannot be used in the Odin Lloyd case. Texts to Lloyd's sister are also thrown out. Prosecutors call 131 witnesses over 39 days during the trial. The defense calls only three witnesses. After 7 days of deliberation, Aaron Hernandez was convicted of the first-degree murder of Odin Lloyd and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. On May 8, 2015, a grand jury indicts Hernandez of witness intimidation for shooting Alexander Bradley. The media repeatedly mentioned how Aaron Hernandez threw away his life. He had it all: money, fame, admiration, and a new family. But they took little time to mention the lives he ruined. The families of Odin Lloyd, Alexander Bradley, all of his cohorts and accomplices, his fiance, his daughter, and potentially the lives of Abreu and Furtado. Hernandez is currently on trial for the murder of Daniel Abreu and Sofino Furtado. The trial is expected to last 11 months.
As for Aaron Hernandez's two accomplices, Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz, their trials began on March 3rd, 2016 for Ernest Wallace and June 9th, 2016 for Carlos Ortiz. Wallace was acquitted of first-degree murder and convicted of being an accessory after the fact and faces 4.5 to 7 years in prison. Carlos Ortiz changed his plea from not guilty to guilty to accessory after the fact and also faces 4.5 to 7 years in prison. Prosecutors agreed to drop the murder charge in exchange for his plea deal. Carlos Ortiz is 30 and Ernest Wallace is age 43 at this time.
I love him. Miss him.
No matter what the outcome is, we still lose. At the end of the day, even if you get justice, do you really come out a winner? I don't think so.
This has been First and Felony. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter, and email the show anytime at firstandfelony@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.